This is the Look Ahead with Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the Look Ahead, Scott Seidenberg here with you, coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. And yes, the huge story in sports on this Monday into Tuesday is that we have the coaching carousel in college football going round and round and round. And it's absolutely going to affect games coming up here. The biggest one, Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, going to LSU. Elsewhere, Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma, going to USC. With that, Oklahoma's losing a boatload of recruits. Spencer Rattler, who was the preseason Heisman favorite, got benched for Caleb Williams. He's out. He's going into the transfer portal as well. So lots of changeover going there at Oklahoma. Bob Stoops taking over and coaching for their bowl game. That's nice. He's going to provide some stability. He's not going to unretire and take that job full time, but he might have an impact on who gets that job. I think Lil Bro, Mark Stoops, could be a very interesting hire there. Stoops has done a great job at Kentucky, knows the SEC well. With Oklahoma leaving and going to the SEC, it would make sense for them to hire a coach that's familiar with the conference. Mark Stoops, obviously, he's got the Stoops name. He would have the support of Big Bro, and I think it would be a tremendous hire for them. Breaking news here, as the Major League Baseball signings continue, Javier Baez is close to a multi-year deal with the Tigers. That's random and weird. I guess it's just about money. 6-year deal with the Tigers. Don't think it affects the futures, because I don't think anybody's betting the Tigers in the futures market. Anyway, back to college football. Just wanted to update you that on there. John Morosi with the breaking news there about Javier Baez. That takes them off the Mets actually out of the equation, as we talked about the Mets with the Scherzer opening. So there definitely was a possibility that they could bring in Baez back, but nope, not going to happen for the Mets, as it looks like he is close to a deal with the Detroit Tigers. Anyway, college football, coaching carousel. Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, he goes to LSU. What does it mean for Notre Dame in the college football playoff? If they get in, I guess Marcus Freeman coaches them in the game? It's only going to be one game. Notre Dame is going to be an underdog against whoever they play in the college football playoff. Now, the only way they get into the college football playoff is if there are some losses this week. The first loss, the first domino to fall, would be Georgia beating Alabama. And that's likely going to happen. The Bulldogs are a 6.5-point favorite. If that happens, it opens up one spot in the college football playoff. That spot will easily be filled by Oklahoma State should they beat Baylor. But if Oklahoma State loses to Baylor, that spot then goes to Notre Dame. Now, if somebody else loses, like a Michigan, who is a 10.5-point favorite over Iowa, should they lose, somebody has to get bumped up. If Cincinnati loses, and they are a 10.5-point favorite over Houston, they have to get bumped up. So there are dominoes that will fall here with losses in the college football landscape here when it comes to the playoffs. Notre Dame's chances to make the college football playoff are actually pretty decent. I wouldn't call it a favorite, because they do need somebody else to lose besides Alabama. The Alabama loss is likely to happen. As I mentioned, they're 6.5-point dogs. So that is a favorite to happen. But with just them losing, that means Oklahoma State with the win is in. Notre Dame would be number 5. They're not in. Somebody else has to lose. I think somebody else could lose. Oklahoma State is only a 5-point favorite over Baylor. Oklahoma State beat Baylor in the regular season. Hard to sweep a team in the regular season. It's hard to sweep a team. So Baylor could easily win that football game. Or maybe Michigan or Cincinnati gets upset. If that were the case, and Notre Dame finds themselves into the playoffs, they will be going into the playoff without Brian Kelly. And likely it would be Marcus Freeman who would coach them in the interim. They'd still be a double-digit underdog. They'd be 17 to 20-point dogs against Georgia, against Michigan. If they were in the 2-3 game, they'd be an underdog. Could it be a rematch against Cincinnati? Like, let's say Iowa beats Michigan. Well, then Georgia's number one. Maybe Notre Dame and Cincinnati are 2-3. And we're going to get that rematch. And then you're going to have, you know, maybe Georgia, Oklahoma State. We'll see. But I think it's pretty interesting that he leaves with his team having a chance to get into the college football playoff. Now, the other domino here, because this job is open now, Luke Fickell is going to, well, he is the top name on everybody's list. And does his attachment to this Notre Dame job lead to a little bit of a distraction in preparing Cincinnati for their toughest test of the season? Cincinnati going up against Houston is not a cakewalk. Yes, I know they're 10.5-point favorites. It's not a cakewalk. Houston is a very good football team. Defensively, just as good as Cincinnati. And they can score. Dana Holgerson's a good coach. They have talent on that roster. And they've won 11 straight games. The Cougars lost their first game to Texas Tech. And then have won 11 straight. And I really wish, could you imagine if they were both undefeated? Now, I don't think Houston would be in the top 10, but maybe they'd be close. I still don't think they'd get into the playoff if they finished the year undefeated, because the American Conference is terrible, and they don't have that out-of-conference win like Cincinnati has the win over Notre Dame. But it would certainly add a little more mystique to this matchup. It's already a great game. Total's 54, which is low, in my opinion. But with these two defenses, we could have it. And what's crazy is, with a spread as high as 10.5 and a total at 54 with both of these defenses, how could you not take Houston plus the points? And now you throw in the possibility of a possible distraction for Luke Fickell. And say what you will about, oh, you can't be distracted. You're coaching for a chance to go to the college football playoff and possibly win a national championship. It's Notre Dame. It's one of the best jobs in college football. And your name is so in demand right now. Luke Fickell could have his pick of any job he wants, any open job. Any job he wants in college football. And so, everyone's going to be calling his agent. And his agent is probably having daily briefs with him, saying, hey, this is where we're at. This is who I've talked to. This is who I'm going to talk to. What do you want me to say? What are some, you know, stipulations? Is there anything that you, any concerns that you have? Anything that you want in the deal? How can we sweeten the pot here? Then his agent's going to come back to him and say, hey, you know, I've talked to this program. I've talked to this program. We're going back and forth. If you're Luke Fickell, you can't just say, hey, I can't have these conversations now because I'm actually focused on preparing for Houston. No. You need to have these conversations now. These jobs won't wait for you. That's why, you know, Brian Kelly could have said, hey, wait, LSU. I want to see if my team gets into the college football playoff. And I'm going to coach them in the college football playoff. No. You don't wait. You take the job. That's why Brian Kelly has to send his players a mass text apologizing, saying, hey, I'm flying back to South Bend so I can meet with you tomorrow. Sorry you had to hear about it in the news. Well, Cincinnati might be preparing for their biggest game of the season with a chance to defy the odds and be a Group of Five team to break the college football playoff party. But for him, as great as that would be, this is his opportunity. This is the career-defining moment. Not winning the American Athletic Championship. Been there, done that. No. It's getting one of the best jobs in college football and completely changing your life. So if Cincinnati comes out a little bit flat, a little bit distracted, the players, they're going to try their hardest. They're going to do whatever they got to do, but maybe there's some that are worried about their future. Maybe their head coach's head is just isn't, and his heart is just isn't in it. Could you imagine if he pulls a Brian Kelly and he leaves before they possibly go to a playoff game? Oh, this thing is getting interesting. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. It's the look ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the look ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cyber Monday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 mid-season football special, you'll also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited-time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It is the look ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Touched on a little bit of college basketball last night in the wake of Duke beating Gonzaga and looking ahead to their matchup with Ohio State coming up on Tuesday. Duke, by the way, has now taken over as the number one team in the nation. Gonzaga has dropped down a little bit, and yes, there's some recency bias that would naturally come into play here and bet on Duke on the road against Ohio State as the ACC Big Ten Challenge gets tipped off. I thought about possibly betting Ohio State as this could be a letdown spot for Duke coming off the huge win against Gonzaga, marquee game, you know, played in Las Vegas. Now you got to go to Columbus and play Ohio State, who's a little bit banged up. I don't know. As much as I think the spot says to go with Ohio State at home with a chance to upset Duke, a chance to prove themselves at home, and where they have just an incredible home record. I think since Holtman took over as head coach, Ohio State is 40-12 at home. Wow. 40-12 at home. But Duke has, I think now it's been decided, even though it's only been a couple of games, but Paolo Banchero is the best player in college basketball. And there is, I think, maybe an athletic mismatch. Plus, this is the Coach K for farewell tour, right? I don't think he allows his players to have a letdown after that win over Gonzaga. Now, naturally, this would be the spot to fade him. coming off of the huge win, newly ranked number one team on the road, but I think I got to be a little bit chalky here, and I got to go with Duke on the road. And you know what? I might be a little chalky when it comes to another game here in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. It's Purdue against Florida State. And I really do like Florida State's athleticism, and I love what Florida State does defensively as well. But this Purdue team is really good. Like, really good. And they play great defense. They have elite three-point shooters. Purdue is an 11.5-point favorite or an 11-point favorite for a reason. They're the number two team in the nation. This is a nationally televised game on ESPN. It's the first game of this doubleheader for the ACC Big Ten Challenge. It's Purdue. Florida State is the first game. Duke, Ohio State as the nightcap. And I think that Purdue does roll at home. So I will go with the chalk. We'll do Purdue at home laying the 11 and Duke on the road laying the 3 for the two marquee college basketball games that we'll see here on Tuesday night. As much as I want to bet both underdogs, and I really do, because I really like betting Florida State last year, but Purdue is a different animal. And I want to bet Ohio State on the home at home, but it's not so much about Ohio State because I don't really know much about them this year. I'll be honest with you. I don't. To me, it just seems like the spot to do it in because you have Notre Dame. I mean, you have, Duke. I'm still thinking about Brian Kelly. But you have Duke coming off of this incredible win over Gonzaga over the weekend in Vegas and now playing on the road in a place where Ohio State just doesn't lose. Like I said, 40-12 under Chris Holtmann over the last four seasons or so. But it's Duke. It's Coach K. I'm going to back the Blue Devils. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Coming up in a few minutes, Jason Weingarten will join the program. Wide World of Weingarten is the podcast. You can find it on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm going to ask him about his opinion on the Major League Baseball future market. Now with the Mets signing Max Scherzer, pairing him up with Jacob DeGrom, there's no better 1-2 in all of Major League Baseball. But it's not just them. It's the entire free agency frenzy in Major League Baseball. Corey Seager gets a 10-year, $325 million deal with the Rangers. And while I don't think that that boosts up the Rangers significantly, they do have a really good infield now. And although not a big fan of them, could boost them up a little bit. I think what's more significant is the hit that it takes on the Dodgers. I know that they don't need him. Trey Turner's there, but he's still a really good piece that they just lost. And so the Dodgers plus 600 are your favorites to win the World Series, followed by the Astros, then the Yankees, then the Rays, White Sox, Blue Jays, and Mets. Mets at plus 1300. I talked about the Blue Jays as being an attractive bet on yesterday's show, but with their inability to sign Robbie Ray, I think they take a hit as Robbie Ray goes to the Seattle Mariners. And maybe Seattle now, let's take a look at them. Plus 3,000 to win the World Series. Got to get into the playoffs first. And they are plus 1,900 to win the American League. But I think the Blue Jays definitely take a hit losing Robbie Ray. But they're still a very good team. And Gausman replacing Ray is nice. It would have been really nice if it was Gausman and Ray together at the top of their rotation. So that's just the latest news around Major League Baseball. This entire, you know, all these signings, the Mets, it's not just getting Max Scherzer. They also got Starling Marte, Mark Canna. They have Eduardo Escobar. They have definitely revamped their lineup. And who knows if they're done. Their owner, Steve Cohen, new owner, has not been shy. He's going to spend money where previous ownership did not. And that makes the fans happy. And I think that you could seriously see maybe an inflated number on the Mets next season for their win total. And that would be interesting because let's say that they are maybe the second or third highest win total. I don't mind going under it, to be honest with you, and going under their win total. Because I do think that it will be inflated. It's not just the attractiveness of the names that they brought in. It's also the fact that they're a New York team. And they'll attract a ton of money in this future market. There are going to be people that will run to the window. Well, no, because they'll just run to their mobile apps in New Jersey. But they will run to bet on the Mets to win the World Series. And that's going to cause their number to go down. And I think that they could be a fade candidate, possibly, if their win total number is just significantly inflated. Like, if we see a 97 something, you know, something like that, you're going to go under on that win total. Scherzer's 37 years old. And DeGrom's coming off an injury. And it's been typical Mets over the past several years, even over their history, to have small injuries turn into larger ones. Not saying it's going to happen, and no one wants to root for injuries, and they are so unpredictable, but you got a guy coming off an arm injury, and you got another guy coming off a dead arm in the postseason. But if healthy, that's the best 1-2 combo in all of Major League Baseball. Too bad they only pitch 2 days out of the week. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's the Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Look Ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It is the Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Joining me now is Jason Weingarten. You read him on VSiN.com. You listen to the podcast, The Wide World of Weingarten, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts from, VSiN.com, as well as YouTube. The podcast is available on the YouTube channel as well. Follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. And Jason, let's jump right into Major League Baseball futures. I was just talking about the Max Scherzer signing with the New York Mets. You pair him up with Jacob DeGrom, plus the other additions that owner Steve Cohen has purchased this offseason in Mark Canna, Starling Marte, Eduardo Escobar. And do you think the Mets are an attractive future bet here at plus 1300 to win the World Series?
I don't love the World Series future here. I think your best bet's going to be to look for an NL pennant future. You're going to get lower than 13-1, but if they do get to the World Series, you're already going to have money in your pocket before even getting into who they might be playing.
Yeah, plus 600 to win the National League. When you look at making a future bet on a team, how much does the offseason acquisitions come into play for you?
If it's Max Scherzer, it definitely matters. But more often than not, I think we overvalue how much a major free agent signing moves the needle. But there does happen to be, you know, like I just said, Max Scherzer, for example, That's a big deal. That's a game changer.
I'm very curious, and tell me if you agree with this. I'm very curious to see how inflated their win total is going to be for next season. Because, yes, Scherzer is it's a sexy addition. If he's healthy, he's 37 years old. DeGrom is coming off an arm injury as well. And you have – it's a New York team that's going to attract a lot of bets. I think if we get an inflated number on the Mets, you might be better off looking at an under on the win total.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely going to see an inflated number with DeGrom and Scherzer. You're not necessarily going to want to push these guys to throw 200-plus innings each in the regular season because their value, it's going to come down in a seven-game series. If they get to the championship round in a seven-game series versus whoever they might be playing, you have to go through Scherzer and DeGrom most likely twice each. That's very, very challenging for any baseball team.
Yeah, of course. Now, you successfully identified, Ohtani as the MVP. Congratulations on hitting that future. It's a little maybe too early to identify a pick for this upcoming season, but what are you looking for when it comes to making a future bet like that? Are you looking for the lineup around them? Are you looking for the opportunity with maybe ballpark factors? Like, what are you looking for in terms of an MVP future bet in baseball?
Well, the main thing is trying to find value with the odds, because you're not necessarily going to get odds with a lot of the guys up near the top. You know, Mike Trout or Fernando Tatis or Juan Soto. Usually, they're going to be real popular, real public bets, and not gonna get a good number on them. You'll get 4-1 or 5-1. So I'm usually looking farther down for guys who have a path to the MVP. They need to be the best player on their own team. If you're not the best player on your own team, you're not going to be the best player in the league, sort of thing. So I'm trying to identify the guy I think could be the best player on whatever team, and then I'm looking for odds that are compelling to make an investment. And Ohtani, he was 50-1, 40-1, 30-1 before the season. It's much different than if he's 3-1 or 4-1 this year.
Yeah, of course. Let's jump to the NFL and talk about the futures market there, and we'll start with the awards. There might not be some value at the top. I wish I would have placed the bets a couple of weeks ago when I thought about Bill Belichick for Coach of the Year. It was plus 1,200, plus 1,400. He's now the betting favorite. Matt LaFleur has gone down significantly as well. He is now your third favorite to win the award. But when you're looking at maybe the awards market, is there a value out there that you have found that could be worth putting a little bit of sprinkle on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the MVP is relatively wide open. You mentioned Belichick. You said that he's the favorite now. You regret not betting him. I have noticed his odds moved a lot. But I personally do not think Bill Belichick's going to win Coach of the Year, regardless of what the Patriots do. And I think the Patriots are, in play for the number one seed. But it's insulting in some regards to call Bill Belichick the Coach of the Year because it implies that he's not the best coach every year, and that he's coaching at a higher level this year than before. And I understand why people think he can win the Coach of the Year, but I just don't see how Bill Belichick should ever be not considered the best coach of everything. So this award should go to somebody like Zach Taylor, who took over a Bengals team that was 2-14 in 2019, and he has them on the verge of a playoff spot. I think a guy like that deserves the Coach of the Year over Bill Belichick, who I think deserves GM of the Year, General Manager of the Year, for the moves he made this offseason, drafting Christian Barmore and Mac Jones and signing Kendrick Bourne, who's been a top receiver, you know, if you use like the PFF numbers, and Matt Judon, who's a defensive player of the year. I think he should be the general manager of the year, not coach of the year.
That's a great point. And I love your idea about Zach Taylor. He's now down to plus 800, so you still have good value on Zach Taylor to win the award. If you were to take a flyer on somebody to be the MVP, who would it be? Now, a couple of weeks ago, I thought maybe Kirk Cousins had good value at plus 4,000. He doesn't turn in a good performance, and then he drops now to plus 5,000. But is there anybody around, you know, that range that you think is worth a flyer? Because you're right, no one's really running away with this award.
I thought Kirk Cousins was a decent bet. Last week, Isaiah would bet him a little bit at 150-1 going into that 49ers game. If they had won that, I thought His numbers compared to Matt Stafford, I thought he was live. Now I don't think he's very live at all. It's going to be a quarterback. I think Lamar Jackson, even after a four interception game, he's still slightly live. If you look at their schedule, they still have the Rams, the Packers, the Bengals. If they win all those games, they're potentially the number one seed in the AFC. I think his rushing numbers, he's like top six, top seven in the NFL in rushing yards. I think when you combine his rushing stats with his passing numbers, and you know, even if you ding him for his 12 interceptions, it's not that much higher than, like, say, Josh Allen or Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady has 9. I think Lamar is the best all around, you know, most valuable player to his team, what he brings, you know, with the running and the throwing. But really, nobody's running away with it this year. This is the worst year for quarterbacks, you know, 10-plus seasons.
It really has been. Offensive player of the year, any thoughts there? Cooper Kupp, Jonathan Taylor are your favorites. Debo Samuel is there at plus 1,000 with Devontae Adams as well.
Yeah, nobody actually knows how to book this award. the smart books don't even offer it because they just don't know what they're doing. Cooper Kupp has not had a touchdown in 3 weeks, and wide receivers, like, traditionally, I think a wide receiver has only won this award like 3 times, and 2 of them were Jerry Rice. So all respect to Cooper Kupp, but I don't see him winning the offensive player of the year. I think it's a really bad number on Cooper Kupp. I think Taylor was the best bet on the board at 20-1 a week or two ago before his 5 touchdown thing. So that ship's kind of sailed. Beyond that, I think Cordero Patterson, I don't think he has odds, actually. If he does, it's probably 100-1 plus. He was the highest graded running back last week. He's been one of the better players this season. He just happens to be on most likely a non-playoff team, which is going to hurt him. But if you were looking for a really long shot, I would look at Cordero Patterson. His numbers deserve more attention.
Good stuff there.
But,
Jason,
I
appreciate the insight and the information as always, and we'll be checking out the podcast. Thanks so much, bud. He's Jason Weingarten. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's the Look Ahead here on VSiN.
This is the Look Ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for moneyline, over, under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It is the Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to Jason Weingarten for joining me on the program. You follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia and listen to the podcast, Wide World of Weingarten, available on VSiN.com. Search for VSiN on the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from. Check it out on YouTube as well. when we were talking about the offensive player of the year, he had mentioned an extreme long shot in Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't necessarily hate that bet. And Cordarrelle Patterson, yes, is kind of a player. He's like a, you know, two-way type guy. And this season for Atlanta, he has 411 rushing yards and four touchdowns. He also has 500 receiving yards and five touchdowns. While I like the idea where Jason's going with this, there's a better bet on the board, and it's very similar. Right now, Austin Eckler is plus 2,500 on DraftKings to be the offensive player of the year. Austin Eckler this season has 604 rushing yards and seven touchdowns, 473 receiving yards and seven touchdowns. Got 14 total touchdowns. He's got six games left on his schedule. If Eckler finishes with double-digit touchdowns, both receiving and rushing, which he will, he's going to score more than three rushing touchdowns over the next six games. He's going to score more than three receiving touchdowns over the next six games. So let's say he finishes with double-digit rushing touchdowns, double-digit receiving touchdowns, 1,000 rushing yards, and can, that's the question, can he get to 1,000 receiving yards? I think over the next six games, he'll get to 400 rushing yards, which would put him over 1,000 rushing yards on the season. He needs 500 and about 527 yards to get to 1,000 receiving yards. Six games, 500 yards. We're talking about nearly 100 yards a game receiving that he'll need in order to get over 1,000. That's probably not going to happen. Last week, he had 68 yards. The week before that, 65. Then he had 15, 23, 60, 48, 53, 28, 52, 61. So, you know, his high watermark is like around, like, you know, 60 to 70. He's never even topped 70. The highest he's gotten has been 68, which was last week. But he's consistent around the 50-60 range. I think, okay, so he'll finish with maybe 800. 1,000 and 800. It's pretty good. But the touchdowns really is what's impressive. He's got a score. Now he's not going to have, like, look at the game against Pittsburgh. He had two rushing touchdowns and two receiving touchdowns. Not going to have that every single week. But Eckler will finish with double-digit rushing touchdowns and double-digit receiving touchdowns, and I think is worth a flyer at plus 2,500 on DraftKings to be the offensive player of the year in the NFL. I don't think that Cooper Kupp is going to win the award. He hasn't had a couple of, you know, he's had a couple of bad weeks in a row. Yes, it coincides with Matt Stafford having a couple of bad weeks in a row. Jonathan Taylor, going to put up great numbers. Team might miss out on the playoffs. He's going to be the rushing leader. Right now, you know, he leads the league in rushing by about 200 and change. So he's got a leg up here. Touchdowns, he has 14. So he's got the most rushing touchdowns. He's the favorite to win the award. James Conner, by the way, has 12 rushing touchdowns. That's a boatload of touchdowns for Arizona. He's got 12 rushing touchdowns on the season. That's a lot. James Conner, not getting enough love for comeback player of the year, but you know, when you have Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow, those are obviously guys that are going to attract the award here. But I think if Eckler does it both receiving and rushing, why not take a flyer out on Eckler? And for coach of the year, you know, Weingarten's right. Belichick and the Patriots are popular because they're going to be a first-place team, I believe. But someone like, maybe you give the coach of the year to somebody that's not expected to be where they are. And for the Bengals, I don't think anyone expected them to be where they are. And so to take a look at Zach Taylor at plus 800 is the best value probably because if the Bengals keep winning, then there's a chance. I mean, they're right there behind the Ravens for this division. The Bengals for the rest of the season will play against the Chargers this week. They're a 3-point favorite. Then they have the 49ers, Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, and Browns. It's not an easy schedule. But if they navigate that schedule and get into the postseason, or dare I say win the AFC North, and they're plus 200 to win the AFC North, the better bet is Zach Taylor to win Coach of the Year. If they win the AFC North, Zach Taylor wins Coach of the Year, right? Like, those two things are not going to be exclusive. They'll go hand in hand. How could you not give Zach Taylor Coach of the Year if the Bengals go out and win the AFC North? You know, this is a Bengals team that last year went 4-11-1 after losing their quarterback. But even with their quarterback, I mean, Joe Burrow was a rookie and he was 2-7-1. They finished 4-11-1. And this year could finish double-digit wins and an AFC North title. If the Bengals win the AFC North, then Zach Taylor's got to win Coach of the Year. So instead of betting the Bengals at plus 200 to win the AFC North, bet Zach Taylor at plus 800 to win Coach of the Year. Because I don't think that those things are exclusive. I think they go hand in hand. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You follow me on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Other futures around the NFL right now that could be worth taking a look at. First overall pick in the draft. It's very early, but odds are available on DraftKings. Kayvon Thibodeau is your favorite at minus 110. Matt Corral is your second favorite at plus 250. Then Malik Willis at plus 450. Then Carson Strong at plus 500. Is there a possibility that somebody else takes a step forward? Of course there is. And that, you know, leap forward could happen during the combine and the offseason and who's going to be, you know, attracted to who and whatnot. Kayvon Thibodeau is the best player in this draft, without a doubt. He's an impact player on, like, the Aaron Donald level. The problem with betting a guy like Kayvon Thibodeau to be the first player drafted is that if the Lions are that team with the first overall pick, don't you think they go quarterback? Jared Goff's not the answer there. They haven't had a franchise quarterback. You know, it was Matt Stafford, and they did have some good years, right, with Stafford and Calvin Johnson and whatnot. But they need to reset this franchise. You know, drafting Okuda last year was a mistake. You know, drafting Ziggy Ansah, a mistake. Like, you know, trying to do it on defense, no. As great as Kayvon Thibodeau is, he doesn't make that franchise a competitive franchise. They're going to go winless this year, probably. And with the first overall pick, it's got to be a quarterback. So you start looking at the Matt Corrals. You start looking at the Carson Strongs, Malik Willis, Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett. That's who you have to look at to be the first overall pick. Right now, Kenny Pickett plus 1,500 to be the first overall pick. Sam Howell plus 1,000. Those are interesting numbers. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You follow along on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Follow us all on the network at VSIN Live. Coming up next, we'll get back into the coaching news in college football and how it affects the future market and the upcoming championship week. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is The Look Ahead here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
You are looking.
looking to bet smarter on Saturdays? The VSiN experts have you covered. We're tracking line movement, studying matchups, and finding value across all of college football every week. Whether it's betting the biggest rivalries or surprise underdogs, VSiN and prize 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 underdogs.